The reading this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
So we're talking and celebrating harvest today. And I should say thank you very much for all the donations people have brought. If you still have donations that you've not yet brought, they're going to be collected on Thursday. They'll be taken to the food bank. So if you're wanting it to be a part of that collection and you've not yet brought it, do please bring it into church at some point during the week. Historically, harvest has been a time when people were working on farmland and they bring in the fruit and the veg that have been grown. And at the end of a hard year of working, they would bring it all and there'd be a big celebration at the fact that all this food had been produced in the harvest that year. Now, I was having a chat with my mum the other day, just a general chat, but I mentioned that I was preaching on harvest this week. And as I was talking with her, I did make the comment that there's a certain extent to which harvest feels a little bit of an anachronism. It feels like it doesn't quite fit in with how we live our lives today. I mean, when was the last time any of us went out, picked up a sickle and started sweeping it at some grain, at the corn? When was the last time that you joined your entire community in going out and bringing in the harvest? Indeed, when was the last time that anyone did that? Certainly in Western society, farming is done on an industrial scale. You've got machines doing it. And yes, you'll have a group of people going out and doing it, but it won't be the entire village community going out to do that these days. The traditional view that we have of harvest no longer exists in our society. It doesn't fit in. But at the same time, as you'll have noticed from the first hymn that we sung, I do like the traditional elements of it. There's a great kind of welling up of me, of kind of reminding me of my childhood, of the things that that I used to sing about it in school and so on, that even back then I wasn't involved in any of the gathering in of food, the traditions that go through with the harvest services, it does remind me of some of that. And also reminds me of a lot of the TV shows that I might have watched when I was younger. Things like, I don't know, All Creatures Great and Small, where you see them out in the countryside and people gathering in, or going kind of further back in time, some of the more kind of periodic dramas showing all of this going on. But actually, tradition isn't something that we should be celebrating. Going out and gathering food is fantastic, but it's not something we celebrate anymore because we don't go and do it. So why do we celebrate harvest? And the simple answer is because we're called to be thankful to God by God. We are called to be thankful for the harvest. So what is it that we're thankful for? God says in the Old Testament, We need to be thankful for the things that we do. He says about bringing your tithes, bringing your first fruits of the harvest. In fact, we can go all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, when Cain and Abel are having their first fruits brought together. Well, the theory being the first fruits. Part of the problem was that Cain didn't bring the first fruits. But they were bringing stuff to sacrifice before God. The idea being to say thank you that he'd given it to them. We're to be thankful for what God has provided for us with the world. We're also to be thankful for what we have. Not everyone has everything that they need, but if you have something, that's better than having nothing. When working with young people, I've come across a lot of young people who've complained about, oh, I don't have the latest Xbox game, I don't have the latest console, I don't have this, I don't have that. Thinking about all the luxuries that Western civilization has given them. But actually, we need to be thankful for what we have. We may have a sprawling mansion with fantastic gardens outside, enough money to pay for a gardener to make it look all fantastic. All of that kind of stuff we could have. Or we could just have a one-bedroom flat and we've got just about enough furniture to make sure that we've got enough to get by. Either side of that, whether you're at the mansion end or the one-bedroom flat end, you should be thankful for what you have. But also, there's a big thing with the fruits of the harvest. It's a sign of what is to come. And so we're to be thankful for what we have, what God has provided for us in the harvest, as a sign of what he gives us in the life that is to come. You could say that the harvest is a foretaste of what God will give us when we meet him face to face. So we're called to be thankful for that which God gives us. But harvest isn't just about food. Because harvest is also a symbol that Jesus makes reference to in many of his parables. As a symbol of what Christians are supposed to do, what we're called to do, a reminder that we also have seeds to sow. Last week, hopefully you remember Dave talking about the parable of the sower. Hopefully, some of you, particularly the younger members of our congregation here, will remember the, was it grow, grow, blossom, or was there another grow in there? Was it two or three? But yet, we're starting low, grow, grow, blossom, in reference to the seeds growing. But the seeds in the story were not physical seeds. They weren't food seeds. Jesus was using it as an example of sharing the gospel. And so the different situations the seeds landed in were referencing different situations that the gospel could be shared into. And so this week we have another parable of sowing the seed. Only this time we don't know where the seeds are sown. The parable just says they were sown. Doesn't say where, just that they were sown. And not only that, but Jesus says the sower only knows when he comes to harvest which seeds had grown, or indeed how much had grown. He doesn't know what's going on until it comes to the harvest. And this is also a parable about us sharing the gospel. However, in this parable, we're being told it doesn't matter if we see what happens or not. It doesn't matter if we see the impact of us sharing the gospel. It's just important that the gospel is shared. We're called sometimes to share the gospel and, we are called to share the gospel and to let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. And sometimes, particularly if you're in ministry, you're not actually going to see the impact. I was very fortunate in my previous job when I spent 9 years, I did see some of the impact. But if I speak to many other youth workers, the average kind of life expectancy within a church for a youth worker tends to be now only about a year. When I started at the beginning of my 9 years in London, the life expectancy was 3 years. And even then, with 3 years, you don't tend to see a huge amount of impact on the seed that you're sowing out. But we're still called to sow the seed. We're still called to share the gospel. People will be moving in and out of different communities. Jobs changing, family commitments, maybe health reasons. Lots of different things that can mean that people come in for a short time and then leave, going somewhere else. And it might be that you have an opportunity to share the gospel with this person just once that has an impact that lasts for a lifetime. One of the things that I used to do in London was going and do assemblies and RE lessons. When I finished my work in London, I finished in the October before coming up here, which meant that for children who had just started to go into assemblies, they got maybe two assemblies from me, two chances for me to share the message that Jesus gives. I don't know whether or not that had an impact. It could be that I shared that message, and then a few months later, when all of a sudden everything closes down because of the pandemic, they remembered the story that I said in the assembly, and they said to their mum or their dad, actually, I'd like to watch a church service. And so they watch a church service and hear the gospel, and it's shared. I don't know if people came to faith or not, but it doesn't matter, because I'm not called to measure how many people come to faith in Christ. I'm called, we're all called, to share the gospel and let God do the rest. Just imagine if you have one opportunity for sharing the gospel in your entire life, and it turns out that that person goes on to be the next Billy Graham. You haven't just had an impact on one person. You've had an impact on all of the people that that one person has then had sharing the gospel with millions. We never know what the impact of us sharing the gospel will be. We just know we're called to share Jesus with the world. And so now we come to looking at the future harvest. And there's three points I just want to bring out from this whole theme of harvest, and particularly looking at the future harvest. The first is, are you a part of the future harvest? Are you someone who has listened to the message, who is listening to the message even, and has yet to respond? Are you someone who is listening right now as I speak? You've been listening to church services and people talking about what the Bible tells. Have you been listening and you've not yet responded? Well, there's an element to which we could say from the first parable, it doesn't actually matter how long you take in responding. But I would point out that the opportunity for response to the message of the gospel only lasts as long as your life does. And I think it's fairly safe to say, particularly in times like this, we never know when our last day will be. So if you're still yet to make a decision, if you're still yet to respond to the message of Jesus, can I encourage you not to take too long? To take the time that you have to fully explore and hopefully make a decision for Jesus. Because not only do you get to be a part of the family of God's church here on earth, you also get to join in with what we get to do as being a part of that family. So that's our first possibility. You could be part of the future. The second is you could already be out in the field. You could be out there already. But maybe you've not yet gone out. Have you accepted Jesus? Have you responded to that message? But you've not yet made a step out into the field. You've not yet taken the opportunity to share the gospel. Well, I can tell you right now some fantastic news. Outside your front door, outside the church's front door, there is a whole world out there where there are millions of people who have not heard the message of the gospel. We're not short of people who we can share it with. You have the opportunities in life right now. I've got some even more good news. You are part of a church community here who do specific things to reach out to our local community here and beyond. We provide opportunities if you're wanting the chance to be able to help, but people supporting you. And if you're worried that you don't yet have the skills, you don't yet have all the information you need, the great thing is that you're part of a church family that is able to support you. You're able to come to church services, hear people preaching, speak to fellow Christians and say, I'm not too sure if I'm able to share this, I don't quite understand it. And people are able to help. So maybe you're someone who's yet to actually step out, yet to make that move into sharing the gospel. I encourage you, we have many opportunities here. You've got many opportunities on your doorstep. And finally, maybe you are actually already in the field. There's two possibilities with this. One is you could be having a fantastic time. Everything could be going amazingly. You're sharing the gospel and you're getting responses and it's all great. No problems at all. And I would simply say to you, if that is you, keep going. I don't think I need to say any more. You're clearly having a good time doing it. Things are going well. God's blessing you. God's with you. Just keep going. But maybe you're out there sharing and you're feeling a bit downhearted. Maybe you're not getting anyone responding. Maybe nobody is really interested in what you have to say. Maybe people are saying, Christians, or something like that. They have got absolutely no interest in what you have to say. And to you, I would simply say, keep on going. Hold on to what God calls you to do. As I said before, you never know the impact you can have by sharing the gospel with one person. All it takes is us sharing and allowing them to respond and the Holy Spirit to do the rest. I can quite safely say, if as a youth worker, I look back on my entire life and I only have one person who has come to faith, I will be more than satisfied. For all the times that I've been able to share my faith with people, for all the times that I've been able to proclaim the gospel, I will be more than satisfied with one person, because that's one more person in relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. What more could we ask for? There can't be anything more important than that. So at this harvest time, remember, yes, we say thank you for all that God gives us. Yes, we remember what it points to, that gift that is to come, the amazing gifts from God. Yes, we also look at the fact that we need to share the gospel. But also remember hold on, keep on going. We're called to share. We just need to keep on doing it. And then we see the harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you do call us to be a part of your harvest. That you call us to share your word, to spread your seed. And that it's not then down to us to make sure that it works. That you take on the role after we have shared. Please help us as we carry on living our lives, whether we are responding to your message, sharing your message, or wondering what's going on. Help us to remember that you are in control in all things. We pray that we might continue to be a part of your harvest for years to come. Amen.